This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Rach.
This is Jax.
This is Dean.
And this is the Rach Jackson Dean podcast.
Sound really chipper. That's weird.
Joy 94.9.
It's not J-Law, it's not J-Low, it's Joy Law.
That's right, it is time for the regular segment, Joy Law. We're followed once again by the team from KHQ Lawyers. It is Chris and it is Jack back in the studio again. Hey guys. Now, we were just talking about marriage, and Rach went to a wedding on the weekend, and we were just talking about...
And they got to say between two people. It was so exciting. It was an amazing moment.
But of course, now that we have marriage equality, it's now passed legislation, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I guess for people who aren't Australian or people who have been married overseas, what does this mean?
It's actually massive. So from midnight on the 8th of December, any overseas marriage entered into, regardless of gender, so obviously a lot of same-sex couples have married overseas, they are legally recognised in Australia.
Woohoo!
But do they have to go through the ceremony again?
No, they're married. That's it. They are legal.
Recognised. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Acknowledged.
That is amazing, because it means that there are people who now of our community are actually legally married right now.
That's it. That's exactly right.
I got goosebumps.
Awesome.
I wonder if you'd do it again. Would you get married? Do you reckon you'd have a ceremony again on Australian soil?
Why not renew your vows?
Renew your vows.
Yeah.
How romantic.
Yes.
But as you said, it's not great news for everyone. What happens to those people who were married overseas but are no longer together?
Yeah, so I know in the past we've spoken about couples that have been what we called wedlocked. So married, couldn't divorce because not citizens of those countries. Now they can get divorced here. The issue is that those people may have now repartnered in Australia and not yet married, but they're now legally recognised as being in two separate relationships.
Or is it allowed?
It is, actually, and it's problematic in terms of asset protection, maintenance from an ex-partner saying, I can't afford to look after myself, having to formalise property settlements. So it's really going to throw a spanner in the works for a lot of people.
Especially those that have separated and are in new relationships.
Exactly right.
But that would be the same with previous, like, heterosexual couples, though. If they had, you know, gone and gotten married in Vegas and then came back to Australia and whatever, and were like, we're not together, but, you know, they don't legally get a divorce, but they've separated and found other partners. Until that legal thing happens, there's still issues, right?
Exactly, 100%. The problem is, I think there's going to be, because it's automatically coming to play and all marriages are now legal, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to have to apply for a divorce.
Which previously same-sex couples didn't have to worry about. So this is the negative edge to a very positive development.
Mm. Yeah. So, look, if you think about it, and I'm being very cynical here, there's a filing fee, let alone legal fees. There's a filing fee with the family court of $865 just to apply to get divorced.
Thanks.
So there's a process that's involved in that. If you are married or you were married overseas, and I've already received some inquiries from people who are and have subsequently separated, I would invite you to get legal advice as soon as possible. As I said, we're happy to see people for half an hour free just so that they know what they need to do and how to apply to get divorced. It's pretty sceptical, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry things haven't worked out.
I know.
Those people.
But some people haven't seen their ex-partners or ex-wives and husbands for years. Mm. So they're now going to have to locate them, some of them overseas, and have expenses in finding them, serving them with a divorce application, dredging up stuff. You know, it may have been a really abusive relationship. So it's going to bring a lot to some people that they probably hadn't anticipated with marriage equality.
I had not thought of this.
No.
You're with Rach Jackson-Dean, with Tristan in the back for the drive home on Tuesday. It's 7 minutes past five, and we've got the team from KHQ Lawyers. We've got Chris, we've got Jack, and we're talking about marriage equality in Australia. So it's now legal in Australia. But what's the story if you were married overseas?
Yeah, we have gotten a text message through from Martin who has said, "Hi, I have a question. I was married in New York last year and understand my marriage is recognised, but do I need to go to the registry office to register my marriage? How does the government know that I'm married?"
That's a good question.
You don't need to actually register your marriage here. You can't register overseas marriages here, but your marriage certificate is conclusive proof that you are married. And that's all you need to do. So the government may not know you specifically are married, but in terms of any legal documents or anything that you may need to complete, you just need your overseas marriage certificate. I should say, however, as long as that marriage is recognised in, say, the country you're married in, which you would assume it would be.
Yes. So if you got married last year in New York, it would have been legal. So.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Now, we were talking earlier about the forms that need to be filled in if you were married overseas and the relationship has since dissolved.
Yes.
And you wanted to now apply for divorce under Australian law.
Yeah.
But let's say you were wanting to, that's not your story.
Yes.
And you don't need to fill those forms in for divorce. You want to fill the forms in to get yourself hitched.
Which is awesome.
And there are forms for that, yeah?
There is forms. So you need to fill out a notice of intended marriage. Once you lodge that with the Birth, Deaths and Marriages, it takes 1 month before you can actually get married. So that's like your period of saying
cooling
no.
Off period.
Yeah, don't want to get married. And once that 1 month is up, you can get married. So anyone that filled it out on the 9th of December, being the day following the passing of the legislation, you can be married as early as 9 January.
And so this isn't just a law for same-sex relationships. This is something that's been in place prior to that for heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
I've never heard
of
this before.
Exactly, yeah. And if you want to go overseas to marry, you've also got to have a certificate from the government saying you've got no impediment to marry, saying obviously that you're not married to anyone else here.
So the whole romanticised idea of running away and eloping, you need to fill the forms in first.
Correct.
Get your paperwork in order.
Exactly.
And then do your romantic getaway.
There's always paperwork.
I heard somewhere, I'm not sure where I heard it, but that the Governor General still has to put a stamp on the piece of paper. Is that correct?
To go overseas?
No, that if you are wanting to get married in Australia and you're a same-sex couple, that it's not going to be legal until the Governor General has stamped the
bill? So that's your notice of intended. Oh, no, that's passed.
Oh, okay.
Bill's done, passed, in law. It's law now. Yeah.
Peter Cosgrove, he's done his stamping.
He's done it.
I don't know where I heard that the Governor General apparently needs to oversee it and make sure that she is our Governor General still a woman.
The Governor of Victoria.
Yeah. But no, it's all been passed. It's amended to say marriage means a union of two people to the exclusion of all others.
Yay. Oh, so that's exciting. We can start having gay weddings as of the 9th of January.
If you did your paperwork by the 9th of December.
Now, continuing with the theme of paperwork,
yes.
Another bit of paper that we talk about a lot with you guys is your will, your last will and testament. So what would happen now if I had a will in the past, which I have, now that I can't get married, do I need to redo my will?
Or even if you were married overseas.
Oh, if I was married overseas as well,
yeah. Dean, what happens is the marriage generally cancels your will.
Right.
Yeah.
The only exception, and it's a very small one in Victoria, is if the will is worded so it says, "This will is made in contemplation of my forthcoming marriage." Magic words.
Which, if you're same-sex, unlikely.
That's right.
Mm.
But since the 9th of December, that changes. The other thing is separation. What a lot of people don't understand, let's say you're married, you separate. Previously, you'd had a strong relationship or you did your will many years earlier and you've left everything to what is now your estranged partner.
Mm.
Right. Sadly, until the divorce is legal, more paperwork, more effort, more speaking to Christina, until that's done, the will stands and you may be leaving everything you own if you die before your divorce to your now estranged and sadly disliked partner.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't stop there, if I can continue this role.
He does pretty enjoy here, Jack.
I think
he loves this
stuff.
Fun. He loves it.
Yeah.
He's got a big smile on his face.
And then, you know, as we get older, we appoint enduring powers of attorney that can act for us if we become ill or infirm. that doesn't end because you separate. And it doesn't end even if you're divorced. You need a new one.
You don't want your ex-partner deciding medically what happens to you, really.
Maybe not. No. Maybe not a good idea.
Wow. You're both shocked. Look, there's so much. Look, there's so much to consider with the marriage equality. It's fantastic, but I'd really suggest anyone who has been married overseas and has subsequently separated, come and talk to us. You know, half an hour free. We can give you everything you need to know, and you can walk out and make an informed decision about how you want to proceed.
Fantastic. And how can they contact you at KHQ?
They can contact us at joylaw@khq.com.au.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Chris and Jack.
Thanks,
look forward
guys.
To seeing you again next week.
Thank you.
KHQ lawyers offer family law advice for the LGBTI community that you can trust.
Our team has expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, arrangements for co-parenting and children after separation, and property settlements, including financial agreements.
We provide a free 30-minute consultation and adopt a flexible approach to billing, offering fixed fee arrangements and upfront estimates to suit your requirements.
Find out more and get in touch at khq.com.au. KHQ Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.